had to go about it, write it out and find it myself. And there's some stories I can tell you. I had to fail, had to fall, just for what I did well. And there's some stories I can tell you.
It is the Final Word Daily, Adam Collins and Jeff Lemon. Day 3 here at the Basin in Wellington. Jeff, tell us about it in 30 seconds to start. cbysuper.com.au. Go.
Nathan Lyon resumed with us from Kwaja, and he bashed 41. The Night Watchman had a good time, didn't make a 50. Kwaja got out for lunch, and then a rush of wicket, 6 for not many. Australia all out for 164. It was Glenn Phillips who took 5 for 45. Matt Henry took 3 for. That meant 369 was New Zealand's target. Not impossible, but they've never chased that many. Doesn't look like they will. Lost 3 wickets along the way, but Rachin Ravindra and Daryl Mitchell put on 52 before the end of the day. They're what, 111 for 3?
That's it. So they're 258 runs away from what would be a miraculous victory, a record-breaking victory. New Zealand had never chased this in the fourth innings. This ground's never seen a chase like that. However, last year there was a comeback of 226 runs in the first innings, overturned with England and New Zealand. So there is something about this pitch getting a smidgen easier to bat on deeper into a match. Steve Smith said before that when we were interviewing him on the coverage that the spin when the ball got a little bit softer wasn't as pronounced. So that's worth mentioning on the way through, although all of the wickets have fallen to spin so far in New Zealand's
second innings. I like Steve Smith's theories. He was like, if the match went 5 days, it would probably spin less on day 5 than it did today because the grass would start to die off.
Sure.
I haven't heard that before, but I'm like, I trust you. You know about stuff in a way that I don't. It seems that's a theory that sounds plausible. I don't know.
Well, spin has been sort of a low-key, really important part of this test match. Nathan Lyon said he didn't think he bowled that well yesterday, but he's got 6 for the match already.
Well, it was a high-key part of the today, you know, once it actually came into
it. But, I mean, Glenn Phillips didn't get a trundle on the first day.
Didn't get
a bowl on the first innings at all, did he?
No.
When they were...
Not an over. Nary a single over was bowled by Glenn Phillips, and took 5 for.
And they did bat for, well, a lot of overs. They batted 4 in the first innings. I have lost my page, but it was over 100 overs, well over 100
it's
overs.
A bunch. And we don't need not everything needs to be about numbers. It can be about vibes. It was a lot.
It was four sessions. That's how many overs they batted for.
Which means it wasn't 120 overs. It was probably about 84.
Extended middle session, first session yesterday. But the point stands that Phillips couldn't get a trundle despite how much he was waving his arms around trying to get one.
Mm-hmm.
We know he gives it a rip from having watched him bowl a lot in short form cricket. We know he's a competitor. We know he attacks the stumps. He's got a really energetic approach to the crease. You combine that with some profligate batting from the Australians after lunch when they lost 6 for 50. Gets Mitch Marsh out first ball, he got caught just at short leg, didn't he? Alex Carey, they set the trap for Carey, 2 catching covers and 2 men behind the wicket, first slip and effectively a gully. You know exactly what they're trying to do. They're trying to get you out driving, and like within 2 deliveries of him going around the wicket to him with that configuration, he picked out Tim Southey in there, which was a boon for them. Massive celebration, as it was when he got his 5th wicket, when he ran over to Matt Henry like he'd won an Olympic gold medal, which was nice. He said he'd been watching his daughter celebrate. I think he's got a 6-year-old daughter, watching her celebrate when good things happen to her, and he just sort of lapsed into being a kid again, which I think is quite relatable in its own way. So good on Glenn Phillips for making it count and making it feel like for a second there it was a raging turner, but I don't think it's as straightforward as that.
But it did turn a lot, and this was the thing that I liked, is that when he bowled bad deliveries, they were still a bit hard to know what to do with because it turned so far. So he bowled short a bit, but it was spinning across, particularly across the left-handers. Kwaja wasn't sure what to do. I mean, the day starts with Nathan Lyon looking breezy as all hell. He's not nailing most of the shots, let's be honest. Most of his fours are coming through the cordon, through the squarish part of the cordon. So they're not nicks through first slip, but they're through gully backward point. He hits 4 boundaries in that area, smacks a couple through the leg side as well. At one point takes Southey for 3 in a row. They're all through backward point gully. Frustrating for the bowler. But basically he was like, look, anything that's drivable, I'll drive it. Oh, look, I made 41 runs. And still hasn't ticked off that 50. He's got the most runs in Test cricket by anyone without a half century, which is interesting. Unless you count players who made hundreds but not 50s. Because then Yasir Shah's got 100 but no 50s.
Gantome?
Andy Gantome made 100. Yeah, I guess. 100. So there are players with multiple hundreds and no... Ravi Bahara's got 3 tons and no 50s, for instance.
Okay. I like the one where most runs without reaching 50. The most number of test matches without reaching 50. Yep. 128 of those. Second on the list, if you're curious, Kemar Roach, 1,174 runs. Fred Truman, 981 runs. And Lyon... Waqar Yunus,
10-10.
10 out of 10 for
Waqar.
And Nathan Lyon went past 1,500 test runs today. I was big Kev. I was about to come on commentary with him on 40. Third time in test cricket, he's reached the 40s. I remember I was on commentary when he got out in to Cape a fat Town. Top edge in Cape Town in 2018 and
trying
being
to slap
gutted.
Over cover. He was going. Yeah. He went back to Mornay Morkel and tried to pound it over cover, and of course that's the sandpaper test. And I just feel like maybe he's cursed. Maybe he's doomed to carry that around for the rest of his career. As your highest score was in the test you would least like to remember as an Australian cricketer.
And he took his 300th wicket a couple of days after that as well on day four, the day after the sandpaper debacle. And also
low key. There's been a lot of Lions statage that's gone on. But so just to clarify, Yasir Shah didn't make more runs than Lyon. He's got the most runs of anybody with 100 but no 50s, which is 918, just in case anybody was looking that up. Lyon's got over 1,501 runs as of today.
Passed it today,
With no half centuries. And it kind of twins in with Shane Warne with the most runs without 100 thing. You know, the two Australian spinners with all the wickets. He also took his career average under 30.5 today when he got the wicket of Kane Williamson, which I know is something you've been interested in. So he was at 34 before the India tour of 2017, and he's brought it down pretty steadily. And especially the last couple of years, he was like 32 before they went to Sri Lanka in 2022. Yep. And he's brought it down to 31 and now under 31 and now under 30.5. Is he going to get there? Can he crack the promised land of 29?
I worked out during the home summer that his average was as low as it had been since 2012 at one point. Yeah. So a little bit like Jimmy Anderson, the longer he's played for, although Anderson's has ticked up a wee bit in the last 18 months, but Anderson has steadily brought his average down in his 30s and the average went below 30 and got to about, I think at its lowest point, 25.5 or something. As a spinner, Lyon will never get to there. He did.
But he could get, you know, you just want him to...
I've got to spit this stat out. He did top score today.
Did he? He did top score.
And it's the second time in his career he top scored. Where was the other?
Cape Town 2011.
Good.
Made 14.
Good, Jeff.
I didn't even need to look that up. They asked that in the box and I was like, come on. I know that. Then I was like, maybe he top scored at Trent Bridge as well because he made 9.
Yes.
Clark made 10. Mitch Johnson made 13. So he didn't quite top score, but he did. I think they put on the biggest partnership for the 10th wicket.
Yeah.
When they were all out.
And I like that, you know, you mentioned before the highest score before today being at Cape Town. Mm-hmm. Him top scoring the only other time was in that calamitous situation in Cape Town. And today it's a bit different. The energy is different, and Lyon is now such a senior statesman and such a respected figure in the game, and his career extends so long, right? Like, he was playing in the test match in 2011 when, you know, Doug Bracewell beat Australia. To him for that.
He was the one with his stumps splayed, looking all sad, kneeling on the ground. So look, a lot went on for Nathan Lyon today, but maybe he'll just never get a 50. Maybe it's not meant to be. And Khawaja batted on for a while with Green and then just got weirdly aggressive, like he just absorbed a lot, and then he had like three different charges and hoicks against Phillips and none of them came off, and on the last one he got stumped, tried to get his bat around, it hit the ground and bounced in front of the line, so he wasn't able to get it back over the line. He gets stumped and then they come back after the break and Phillips just keeps picking them off.
To me, it just symbolised the change in attitude just nearing lunch. They added 2 for 100 even in that first session across 27 overs, and it felt like what Khawaja did symbolised to me that they felt like, oh, we've got plenty here. But declaration batting, they probably do have enough.
Yep.
But traditionally, to close out a game, you want a 4 in front of the target.
Mm-hmm.
A 3 in front of the target is very unlikely, but as we've documented on the show before, there are far more scores of 300 plus, 350 plus being achieved in the fourth innings, even in losing efforts. So I reckon it was just a little
not
bit early.
Not by New Zealand, though. They've never
not
done it.
Not by New Zealand,
they've
but in test
twice.
Cricket.
They've done it twice ever, I'll give you this. 1994, they chased 324 against Pakistan in Christchurch. And then in Chattagram, Lisa Needs Braces, 2008, they chased 317. So twice ever.
They chased down 285 last year. So I guess what all I'm saying is, and that was in possibly here.
But that's 100
against Sri Lanka.
Runs.
No, but you've got to accept the point I'm making here, Jeff, is that
the scores
are being made more regularly that are punchy like this. And that's where Australia, I think, just went too early. There was no reason to move the game along. I know there could be rain in the offing. I think more likely the day after, on day five, more than day four.
Well, I think it's overnight tonight as well. There's likely to be some, which might be morning tomorrow, but it's supposed to clear by the time we start play.
And for whatever reason, long-term weather forecasts in this city apparently mean absolutely nothing. So we'll keep a lid on any speculations about weather. But you don't want to get into a situation where when you're exactly 350 ahead, Cummins, who should have been out for a second ball duck as well, he was dropped twice on the rope at deep mid wicket.
Yeah.
And they only get another 19 runs on top of that, but it could have been all out bang on lead being 350. Yeah. And that felt like a little tiny little turning point because the The blood drains out of your face, the drop by Cougar line. He got into position. He did well to get into position before making a complete meal of it and overrunning it. And poor old Henry Nichols, who's been dropped from the test side, brought back into the squad. Mm-hmm. He's a great fielder, Nichols, and it was straight down his throat,
he
in and out.
He's safe as houses. So he's right on the rope, a deep square leg. He goes reverse cup over his right shoulder. I was like, he's absolutely snaffling this. And then he somehow parried it behind him, not over for six, thankfully, but over for four.
Well, both of them ended up going for four. So there's eight runs right there that they shouldn't have got.
Which Cummins is all Cummins got. He was out for eight.
Right, so he should have been out for naught. And it doesn't mean an awful lot in the scheme of things, but when you get higher up that pyramid. So it'll mean that one of the players needs to make 150-plus to win, right?
What it means is this. Glenn Phillips got Usman Khawaja, Travis Head, Mitchell Marsh, Alex Carey, and Cameron Green. That's a pretty good five for
it is.
A 5-for-45. Yeah. And he should have had six for, but he got Cummins dropped twice. So that's the bit that matters, is that, you know, I feel for Phillips, who should have had better figures. My God, I enjoy watching him play cricket. And I kept thinking back to the Durham-Sharla game during the World Cup. And I looked back over it today because it was absolutely bonkers. Off 13 overs, Australia were 144 for none. They were going at well over 10 and over from the first 13, with Warner and Head going nuts. Phillips comes on. He bowls like one quiet over, then he gets Warner caught and bowled, 81 off 65 balls. Then the next over he bowls Travis Head, 109 off 67. And then he keeps bowling, gets Steve Smith out as well, bowls 10 straight through, 3-for-37 off 10 overs in a match where Australia made 389 and New Zealand made 384, was it?
Yeah, total shootout. Came down to the last ball.
I mean, to bowl like that, to bowl with that degree of economy is incredible. And then he did a similar thing here today. It was like, cool, it's turning, I'm going to rip this as hard as I possibly can. I'm to take wickets. I made runs. He's got 71 and a 5-for, and, you know, who knows, a chance to do something else in the second innings.
Starting the ball pretty well against South Africa a couple of weeks ago, but I can't see them bringing him back in for Christchurch, where spinners go to die. They'll keep Phillips in the team. O'Rourke broke down.
Yeah.
Kugelhahn's been ineffective. I did see Neil Wagner after play. I go, what are you doing next weekend? Do you want to play cricket? Because I would have thought that Wagner's a logical person to ask to play. I don't think it'll happen, but they might go to the next generation. There are a number of options for New Zealand, but I don't think it'll be Santner.
No.
And that they may need another quick, or even indeed two, if they're going to play four. And I wouldn't see a world where Wagner wouldn't be in the top four if O'Rourke broke down today. That's
sure.
The reason with it. I don't know how badly, but he didn't bowl.
He's got left hamstring soreness.
Awareness, so I think they call it that now.
Hamstring awareness. I'm aware. To be fair, I didn't have hamstring awareness until probably my mid-30s. I never considered that they existed, let alone stretched them or injured them. So I didn't do anything like strenuous enough to warrant that. And then I was like, oh, I have hamstrings. That's annoying.
I'm aware of them.
Yeah, I'm now aware of them. We're just trying to raise awareness. This is a charity for hamstring awareness. Have you considered your hamstrings? Would you like to put some money in my bucket? Anyway, so he's aware of them. Whether that means he can't play in 4 or 5 days' time, let's see. But, I mean,
yeah,
it's not a good sign.
Yeah, Billy, he's not going to be the king of Geelong next week.
I think they're not going to risk a promising young fast bowler by saying, why don't you keep playing with a dodgy hamstring?
Especially if they go 1-0 down, right? They go 1-0 down, there's other considerations in all of that. But yeah, so some other names you checked on the way through that fifer. Green, great catch by Will Young at short leg.
Yes.
There's something about Will Young. I can't...
Forever Will Young.
Well, in England, it means a different thing. He won the equivalent of Australian Idol in the first year.
It's
a massive deal. There was a nice entry in Popbitch about that Will Young.
Right.
About being a dreadful waiter. He used to get all the numbers wrongly totted up when he worked as a waiter. Anyway,
he was a dumb waiter?
Yeah, I am.
There you go.
Yeah. But no, so Green caught it short leg. There was another one caught it short leg. Can't remember
anymore.
Marsh, that's right. That was the first baller. So well done, Will Young.
One in the deep.
Head took on, took Head. It on, tried to go downtown unsuccessfully.
So Head made 29 quickly, and that was kind of fine in the context. Why not go after it? Lashed him through cover and through point a few times, and then banged one down the ground and got caught. Green 34. So he's made 208 runs for once out in the match.
And he may not be out of the match.
The rest of Australia's top six of the conventional top six, not meaning Lyon as the night watchman, made about 175 between them for twice out each. So that's 12 wickets for 175 for all of his teammates, and he's made 208 for one.
Okay, I take it back about him maybe not being man of the match. He will be regardless of what happens from here, unless Lyon takes an 8-for or a 9-for, a Hadley-esque 9-for, like it was in Brisbane those years ago.
Why don't they get Richard Hadley to play? He's played in all of New Zealand's wins over Australia Bar 2. Get him out here.
Next week they're doing a 50th anniversary of the first New Zealand win against Australia back in 1974 at Christchurch. So it's 50 years on from that And I assume both Hadleys who played in that game will be there. I hope so. That'd be nice.
I hope so. Too.
I'm not sure if their old man's still with us. Probably not.
No. He'd
probably
so.
Have three figures on the clock if he were still
he'd
going.
He'd be in Monkey Hornby territory if he was suiting up.
But I wanted to mention the Wuyong catches to get to his dismissal.
Okay, yeah.
Steve Smith today has gone beyond Mark Waugh.
Yes.
Only RT Ponting ahead of him with his 196.
Six catches.
And what a way to go past Mark Waugh. That was a fucking blinder. Travis Head, golden arm. The way that Smith reacted late and had to go sharp to his left, reminiscent of the catch he took to get rid of Pajara at indoor this time last year, albeit that was at leg slip. This was a conventional slip. He'd already caught Williamson at leg slip, a very easy chance because it was guided off the inside edge. Smith, that's on the highlight reel. It nearly took an absolute screamer off Ravindra, which would have been similar to the diving chance he took in the World Test Championship final at the Oval last year. It just went a bit too quickly to his left, but he thought he could have got it too. Smith was like, oh, it was nearly there. But a reminder that, you know, he missed out yesterday and he's got COVID, by the way. We learnt that after play when interviewing him. Just a reminder that he's also brilliant at that other part of his game.
It's not often talked about. Like, people don't talk about Smith as one of Australia's greatest fielders. 181, Mark Waugh, like, that's iconic. Mark Waugh was the iconic slip catcher, and I know we've talked about it before, but even though Ponting went past him, Mark Waugh was still the Australian slipper. And to go past him, Ponting's 194, so he's not far away. And then in terms of the ones who've wrapped up, Jai Warden is ahead of him, and then Rahul Dravid on 210. Yeah. So you could easily catch Dravid, and then it's really just a matter of, so Joe Root's marginally ahead of Smith as well by 8 or 10 catches and still playing. So it's basically those two, right? Like, how long do those two play for and who ends up on top of the catch list?
It's like the Ashwin line. They'll go and do-si-do or cat and mouse or whatever you want to say till the end of their careers. And I would say Root's more likely to play longer than Smith at this stage.
Probably,
but you never know. You never know.
But he might just get bored. I don't know. Yeah. He might, maybe his scooping days will be done. So just to clarify, New Zealand are chasing 369. They lose Latham top edging a cut for 8.
Bad shot.
It was wide. Lyon bowled short quite a lot today, like, especially early. He'd be dragged short far too often and didn't really get punished for it.
If Conway's fit next week, does Latham get dropped?
Oh, it has to be.
I'm not dropping Will Young. I don't know. There's something about Will Young. There's nothing to back this up. Pure vibes. I saw him make a lovely 100 at the Oval last year in a county game. I just think that for whatever reason, at some stage, he'll click.
Will Young's the first one dropped and has been for the last couple of years.
Yeah,
he's always the first out.
Yeah.
He's sort of taken Henry Nicholls' spot as being the one who's first out, and now Henry Nicholls is second out, but also sub-fielding. It's possible, I suppose. So Latham caught behind for 8. Williamson guides it to leg slip for 9. The one Young caught by Smith off head for 15. So those are the three that have fallen. The Kane Williamson thing's interesting. I was just looking through his numbers and I was sort of aware of this conversation but hadn't really given it much thought. Against England, Australia and India, he averages like mid to high 30s, which is not bad. Like, it's not a bad record, but it's a moderate record, right? He's made 800s in 39 games against those countries. And against all the other countries, he's averaging like high 60s to mid 80s. So he's basically averaging 69 against everyone who's not a big three country, and then 37 against the big three countries, which is interesting.
Can I give you some root maths?
Sure.
Williamson made 200s against Australia in 2015, one at the Jabba and one at the
Flatty.
Whacker.
The Flatty of the Flatties. The pitch that killed Mitchell Johnson.
If you start the clock from there to now against Australia, 12 innings, average of 19.9.
Yeah.
So it's root maths because, of course, as you fold in the two innings before that, and he did make 97 against Australia at Christchurch in 2016, where Jackson Bird got him out three runs shy of another 100. But still, he didn't make a run against Australia 4 years ago in Australia, and he's looked decidedly sketchy here. That it's almost Hall of Fame worthy, his first ball today. So Lyon gets Latham with a... it's borderline long hop, right? So it's not a good shot from Latham. It's hard spun, but it's short.
Yeah.
And next ball, Williamson nearly gets out off about three different edges of the bat. Mm. The ball goes past the edge, past the back of the bat, past the front of the bat. So they had to check Snicko on three separate occasions. Yep. And had he fell then, it would have been a pretty ugly way to get on a hat-trick for Lyon. Not that he would have minded, but it would have been a pair, having been run out calamitously yesterday. So... I mean, I don't know where he's going to find any nick from. That took like three balls for that plan to work with the leg slip and no time at all.
It's interesting that, like, literally the hottest form of his life, 700s and 7 tests, and he comes out here against Australia, scrambled, brain fried, run out first, and then he guides on straight to the catch a second. And I genuinely think he forgot leg slip was there because he plays the shot, looks around, sees it get caught, and he goes, and he throws his head back like he just... it's like he was surprised that it had happened, but he was like, oh, I forgot. I knew that guy was there, and then I forgot that it had happened. I just played the shot anyway. Well, it looked like it was not a shot he would have played if he knew that fielder was there.
Well, the reason Lyon started going around the wicket was because of what you described before. He was just struggling a little bit with his length. So he got pulled by Williamson twice out to the deep backward square rope, once for one and once for four. And my sense at the time was Lyon just wanted to give himself more of a chance to push the ball across him and try and, you know, ideally go back through the gate. He wasn't bowling for the one caught around the corner, but you always have a fielder there if you're Lyon, if you're bowling from that angle. So it's both a defensive and an attacking position at the same time. So, yeah, maybe a bit of a brain fade, but I mean, we all want to see Williamson at his best. He's made 8 tons in his last 10 matches, including 2 doubles, averaging 87 until this week. So, you know, with any luck next week at Christchurch, it clicks. We all thought with a target of 369, it has to be Williamson making like kind of half of them, the way that he did when they chased 285 last year, and it was the final ball finish, and he was 100 plus not out. Yep. At the end, it was about 150 not out, wasn't it? So he made more than half the runs. But now, like, next generation is Ravindra.
Yeah, and he looks great.
And Mitchell's the number 3 batter in the world, who's been a match winner across the 3 formats in the last 3 or 4 years for New Zealand. Next in after that is Blundell, who, playing on his home ground, made runs here against England, made 90-odd, I think, last year against England in the second innings. And then if those three can combine to get under 100-odd, and then you unleash Phillips with the fairly punchy tail, Henry and Southee only really knowing how to play one way, and who knows whether Kugelheim works or doesn't, but nevertheless, he'll come in before the fast bowlers, then I reckon they're in with a puncher's chance. But a lot will hinge on Ravindra restarting tomorrow and looking as good as he did towards the end of today, and Mitchell
surviving upticking. He looked awful through the first, I don't know, 45 minutes of his innings.
He was
all over
for survival.
The place.
He was playing for a long way out for stumps.
Cummins bowled him an absolute scorcher of a spell, like a few overs there that Mitchell could do nothing with. He was shuffling around, he was sparring at balls. The ball was turning from Lyon as well. He could have been out a number of times, but he battled through. Ravindra gets to a half century just before the close and looked beautiful in defence and in attack. So there are maybe. Hall of Fame?
Let's do it.
Final Word Hall of Fame, where we pick our most final word moments of the day. It's brought to you, as always, by Cbus Super, the superannuation company of choice of the final word. Yeah, doing the hands gestures.
Doing the industry super fun hands.
I'm standing on the back of a truck, operating the gas-powered lift in order to symbolise rising returns. 8.89%.
We had Paul Kelly on the show.
Yeah, we did.
From Little Things, Big Things Grow. That was off. That, I don't know whether it still is. For a long time, it was the anthem of the industry funds, which Cbus is a member of.
I'm not going to say that Paul Kelly's with Cbus, because I don't know, but he feels like the kind of guy who would be with Cbus.
Well, he wouldn't be with the retail fund if he's, you know,
He's got Cbus vibes. So I mean, sort out your superannuation. Why
do
not?
What Paul Kelly did.
Yeah, or may have done. One of the Paul Kellys.
Past performance not a reliable indicator of future performance, and our speculation is not a reliable indicator of reality.
Not at all.
Cbussuper.com.au.
Hall of Fame. Hall of Fame. It was Glenn Phillips' hat trick ball today when he was suiting up to bowl, and everybody in the commentary box was just watching you. Being like, it's not going to happen.
Had the camera out anyway. It's quite a lot. Nice collection of photographs I've got now of balls that are being bowled to, in theory, collect the hat trick.
Yeah,
you and I knowing full well.
3 dozen hat trick ball photos, none of which have come to fruition.
Yeah.
The bit where Matt Henry goes chasing after Travis Head's shot, which rolls to the boundary rope and stops about 4 inches inside, and Henry's at absolute full pelt, and he sees it stop, and he's like, oh, I don't have to dive to stop that, but then looks up and realizes the fence is right there and just runs basically full tilt into the fence, rebounds off it into the field of play, and then picks up the ball to throw it. I've never seen someone chase the ball so hard and then not field it before. That was good.
A couple of bits and pieces from, Marnus, really. First ball of New Zealand's chase, a ball that was going down the leg side by, you know, quite some way from Mitchell Starc, and Marnus went up with a huge appeal. He's hearing things again. That's okay. I kind of like it better when Marnus is being... I've kind of come full circle on this. I was quite critical of him when he was appealing for everything in the Ashes of 21-22. I'm at peace with it now. I like it better when he's a little bit zany.
Yeah.
I've got here... well, this is probably the most Hall of Fame moment for me today. Today was dress-up day at Basin Reserve. It's a new thing. And as part of dress-up day, a new thing for them here, that is, they had a competition on the ground at lunch where you would go out there in your dress-ups and you would perform a catwalk of sorts.
Yep.
Our dear friend and colleague, Brett Sundaresan, simply went in his normal clothes. He didn't win. He gave the crowd a spray. They played Jai Ho. after he did it, which was a little bit. I think they called him Brat from the Bronx.
And then from the box.
From the box.
Yeah.
I'm glad I misheard that.
Yeah.
Okay.
As
cool.
In the commentary box.
That's good. Yeah, that's better. That's better than the way both he and I heard it.
Okay.
And Jai Ho being played, but he did do a little.
I didn't realise I'd have to be smoothing things over between Farad and Cricket Wellington.
He did a mic drop.
Yeah.
He gave the crowd a spray. He tried to play the heel WWF
style. Yeah, he was
style.
Doing the wrestling style thing. Yeah. But
he didn't win.
I just like that he was. Yeah, he was just out there in his civvies while everyone else was dressed as a moose or a can of Coke or whatever it was.
So that's our Hall of Fame today. Any more from you?
Just a last one, because I was looking up most runs without a half century. Then I was like, who's got the highest batting average, having never made a 50? And so then I looked that up. This is
Can you narrow it?
I can give you. You'll never get number one. You might get number two, which is someone who played one test in 1979 during World Series cricket.
Yeah, I'm going to struggle for a one test 1979.
Who shares a name but not a spelling with me.
Jeff.
Jeff.
No, Dimmick didn't play just one test match. He played more than that. I don't know.
Jeff Moss.
Oh, Jeff Moss. Jeff I think Moss. We've done Jeff Moss on Story Time before.
I think so.
We have, yeah.
He made 38 not out and 22 in his one test, so he averages 60. And then Ken Hoff, or Huff, as in Damien Huff, Hoff, from Adelaide, a New Zealander. So we've got a New Zealander and an Australian at the top of the pops. Ken Huff in 1959 played two test matches. He made 31 not out, 7 and 24 not out. Average of 62 in his career, no 50s. There you go.
Noted. I'm glad we know this now. Yeah. I hope Nathan gets there one day. He probably won't.
No, he probably won't. I think today was his best chance.
Yeah, we were excited, then we weren't. It was probably the most engaging part of it. It wasn't the most engaging part of
the day. The Phillips spell,
we were all eyes on
that.
The crowd were involved. We were up. It's going to take something special. If they hold down 369, we'll be up again tomorrow. Yeah. You can be sure of that. Mm-hmm. Follow everything we do in all the usual places. If you like what we do, more than the average speaker, can do what a number of people have said to me around the ground, and indeed at our Wellington catch-up last night, who have joined Patreon because they like what we do, and we love them all for it. It was so nice to put some names to faces there. We'll try and do something similar at Christchurch last week. So thanks for listening. Thank you to CBus Super for all of their support of us, and we will come back tomorrow for what will likely be the final day of this test. Good
day four, baby. Day four. In my future, question my current senses. That'd be the same we've been doing for centuries. Sorry if I ran out to empty, wrote this so you know what I meant here. I had to go about it, write it out.